play action to Latavius Murray. Looks left, swings back to the right. It's intercepted by Terrence Newman. Far side of the field to the 40, and that's where he stopped Terrence Newman. That's the Vikings' first take since the fourth quarter of a victory over the Kansas City Chiefs. Teddy back to pass, zips it out to the right, caught Red Ellison at the 5, reaches for the end zone, touchdown Vikings! An 11-yard touchdown hit from Teddy Bridgewater to Red Ellison. That's Rhett's third career touchdown, and the Vikings have the ball one time, and they lead 6-0. Carr out of the shotgun, 2nd and 10. He's back to pass, he's hit, he goes down, and he's buried by Linval Joseph. Finishing off what rookie Daniil Hunter started. Loss of 10. Two receivers left and right. Carr fade back right of the end zone. Terrence Newman intercepted it. His second today. Terrence Newman took it away from the Oakland Raiders and silences those here at Oco Coliseum. Final play up until the 2-minute warning. Handoff, Adrian scoots through at the 25 to the 30. And he's loose! Adrian inside the 50 to the 40. No flags on the play. Touchdown, Vikings! An 80-yard touchdown run by Adrian Peterson. His longest of the season. And he runs the Minnesota Vikings into first place atop the NFC North.
That sounds pretty good, doesn't it, Vikings fans? Adrian Peterson runs the Vikings into first place. The call from Voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen. This is Mike Wobshaw from Xfinity Studios at Winter Park with producer Nate Vaughn, and this is the Wobcast. We're sorry for the delay, a little bit late in getting the early edition, the early week edition of the Wobcast up, but we were busy sending Facebook friend requests to all the friendly people that we met at O.co Coliseum and the Black Hole in Oakland. So we got a little bit tied up there. But we have a great show coming up for you. We're going to start it with a winning locker room. What does a winning locker room sound like? Take a listen.
That is a great team win, right? I always tell you, the team that plays the best, the team that does the right things, is the team that wins, right?
Yes,
we return a kickoff for a touchdown.
Yeah.
We run. Adrian rushes for over 200 yards. Defensively, they don't score anything in the second half.
Right?
That's a great team win, okay? Now, I'm sure you're all aware, all right? We're in first place, okay? You know what that means? It means nothing. It's not where you are now. It's where we finish at the end of the year, okay? Let's keep our nose to the grindstone. I'm going to keep grinding you. I'm going to keep pushing you because I know what this team can do. I'm going to keep pushing you, okay? And we are working tomorrow, okay?
That was a great team win today. Great job by our coaching staff, putting together a game plan to go out there and allow us to execute and play fast. And, we did some things differently coming out here an extra day early. And I think that really helped. So, Coach Zimmer, he's been making great decisions for this team. And, our job is to continue to just go out there and reward him. And I guess it wasn't pretty today, but we came away with the victory.
We knew what type of environment we was coming into. We knew it was going to be a dogfight. And that's what it was. But I just got to give credit to all phases. Defense, they played good. And protected us when we needed it. Special teams came up with a big play. Carter Patterson, that return that he had, showed the greatness that he has. And with that, we was able to come out with a big W. So, yeah, we just got to continue to look at it one week at a time and try to win that week.
Just kept playing our techniques. Guys up front, they've been playing great all year. Still getting pressure. Forcing quarterbacks to make quick decisions. And Carr's a very good quarterback, so he's going to be making plays for a long time. And just glad we didn't let him
win. And you get Newman with two huge picks, especially that last one, huh?
Yeah, he's a baller. We're lucky to have him, lucky to learn from him. And, he made plays at the most crucial times.
They're a really good offensive team. I mean, I think they were seven and top seven in total offense. And they've got some good players over there. Running back is a pretty good player. They got some really good receivers as well. So We knew we had to come out and play better in the second half, and I think we made some adjustments. Our coaches made adjustments, and you know, we were able to rise to that occasion.
It's pretty something when there's yourself and then there's Woodson on the other side. Guys have been around for a long time and still doing this.
Yeah,
at
we're old.
Level, right?
We're old, and we still love the game. So as long as we still love the game and our bodies are able to play, I mean, we'll be out here. So.
You know, I thought it was a very, very good team win. I thought our guys competed and fought. You know, we did some good things in really every phase, special teams, offensively. We rushed for a lot of yards. We moved the ball. Sometimes we didn't finish the drives as well as I'd like. But and defensively, we didn't give them anything in the second half. So, you know, I'm proud of this football team and the way they came out here and competed and fought.
In a good way, Coach Zimmer starting to sound like a broken record after these wins, always calling them complete team victories. A good thing to be doing for a team, not relying on one person too much, having all three phases chip into victories. That's what happened to the Vikings in Oakland. Of course, you have Adrian Peterson and the running game all over the Raiders defense, rushing for 263 yards as a team. Adrian had 203 of those yards. Cordarrelle Patterson gets his groove back with a 93-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. And Blair Walsh has three field goals, so the special teams chipping in there. And then Terrence Newman with two interceptions. The Vikings defense has been good all season long. The one thing that's been hit or miss for the Vikings has been creating turnovers. Terrence Newman gets the Vikings defense on the right side of that, has two interceptions, including one at the very end of the game, which basically sealed the deal and set up Adrian Peterson's 80-yard touchdown run. So you have a complete team victory once again for the Vikings in their win over the Raiders, something that we've been talking about here on early week editions of the Wobcast for the last 5 weeks, all three phases chipping in, offense, defense, and special teams. You love to see your team doing that. It's a 5-game winning streak for the Vikings. That includes three consecutive wins on the road at Detroit, at Chicago, and now at Oakland. That's what really good teams do, right? They win games on the road. Another thing that really good teams get to do a bunch, they get to scoreboard watch. And that's what the Vikings were doing on Sunday. When you're taking care of your own business, you are afforded the luxury of looking up at the scoreboard, rooting against other teams so that you can get into first place. And that's what happened to the Vikings on Sunday. The Vikings kicked off at 3:05 p.m. Central Time Sunday. The Green Bay Packers, who entered the week in first place in the NFC North, they kicked off against the Lions at noon. So Vikings faithful checking that scoreboard, watching how the Packers played before their team kicked off. They see the Packers go down in the early stages of the Vikings game. The Vikings go on to victory, and now they claim first place in the NFC North. So the Vikings doing what good teams do, winning on the road and scoreboard watching. All of it is a lot of fun. Now, let's get into the down and dirty, the nitty-gritty. Let's recap this Vikings game. Let's look at the good and the bad. Let's start with the good. Adrian Peterson goes for 203 yards. Are we looking at another historic season for Adrian Peterson? We might be. Consider this. That was his sixth game with at least 200 yards rushing, ties O.J. Simpson for the NFL record. Adrian now has 13 touchdowns of 60 or more yards, an NFL record. Not only is that impressive, but here's the more impressive part of that to me. Adrian has 13 touchdowns of 60-plus yards. The guy in second place is Jim Brown, and he has 9. So Adrian already with 4 more touchdowns of 60 or more yards than the guy in second place. Unbelievable. Through 9 games in 2012, when Adrian ran for 2,000 yards, 957 rushing yards for Adrian. Through 9 in 2015, Adrian is ahead of that pace. He's at 961. So similar pace, but a little bit ahead to the clip that Adrian was on in 2012. Adrian on pace for over 1,700 rushing yards this season. He's 227 yards clear of Chris Johnson, who's in second place right now in the NFL in rushing. That's how dominant a season Adrian Peterson is having right now. Are we looking at another historic season for Adrian? We just might be. The defense continues to clamp down on opponents, particularly in the second half. The Vikings have the number one scoring defense in the NFL, allowing only 17.1 points per game. Even better, though, they have the number one scoring defense in the second halves of games, allowing just 6.8 points per game in the second half. Completely dominant performances by Mike Zimmer's defense in the second half of games. You want to give the players a lot of credit for playing as well as they are, but I think you also have to give the coaches a nod for the way they're able to make in-game adjustments, halftime adjustments, and anticipate what the opponent is going to do and get those players playing so well in the second half. Another thing we like from the game, how about the Vikings offensive line, particularly in the running game? This is a group that did not practice and play together during the offseason program, during training camp, or the preseason. John Sullivan goes down, Phil Loadholt goes down, so two new starters step in right before week one of the regular season. That's when those five guys started playing together, week one of the regular season. As time has gone on, they've started to gain some synergy, some rhythm, and right now, the running game is going at a fantastic clip. Over the last four games, the Vikings are averaging 32 runs a game and 174 rushing yards per game, 5.4 yards per carry over the last four games. That is your Minnesota moving company, absolutely moving people, moving defenses back, paving the way for Adrian Peterson. Lastly, let's touch on the special teams. We liked that performance from Sunday. It seems every week the Vikings special teams group is making winning plays. They're not just chugging along doing their part. They're making a difference in games. On Sunday, of course, it was the Cordarrelle Patterson kickoff return, which happened right before halftime and right after the Raiders scored their second touchdown to steal the lead. The Vikings went up 13-0 in this game. The Raiders stormed back with two touchdowns late in the first half. After the second touchdown is when Cordarrelle Patterson took it to the house. So you have the Patterson return touchdown this week. Marcus Sherrills has had a punt return touchdown this season. Of course, Blair Walsh is knocking down winning field goals. Jeff Locke has been very good this season. On Sunday in Oakland, he had two 50-plus yard punts with 0 yard returns by the Raiders. So you give Jeff Locke credit for punting. You give the protection credit for protecting Locke and giving him time to get those punts off. And then you give the coverage team credit for getting down there and not allowing many punt return yards this season. The Vikings with the number one punt team in the NFL. All right, one thing we can improve on heading into this game against Green Bay. Well, I guess you can improve in every single area. You shouldn't be satisfied anywhere. But we continue to harp on this, and we have to even after the win last week. Red zone offense. The Vikings still need to improve in that area. I believe they were one of three on Sunday against the Raiders. When you get inside the red zone, you want touchdowns, not field goals. You'd love to be able to salvage drives with field goals, but those are on drives that stall out at around the 30 or the 40-yard line. You'd love to have a guy like Blair Walsh come on and save points for you. But when you get inside the 20, inside the red area, you need touchdowns, especially when you're going up against an offense that can score it the way the Packers can. They're in a slump right now, but they're due to break out of that slump. And if you want to be the team that continues that slump for Green Bay and is not the team on which Green Bay busts out of the slump on, you need to make sure you score touchdowns when you get in the red zone. Okay, let's get some opinions from people outside the building here at Winter Park. We're going to start with former Vikings offensive coordinator, former Ravens head coach, and Super Bowl champion, Brian Billick. He's been the architect of some very explosive offenses that have featured aerial assaults. He thinks the Vikings can be dangerous, but for a different reason. Here's what he had to say.
Again, the Vikings are 7-2, alone in first in the NFC North. They get the Packers this week, Brian Billick, and again get them week 17. How dangerous is this Minnesota team?
They're very dangerous. Anytime you can play great defense, and Mike Zimmer does such a phenomenal job with taking players that, you know, really, you look, who is the bell cow in Minnesota? Who's that dominant player? But they play great team defense. You just talked about how Adrian Peterson is leading the league in rushing. Of course, they're, as a team, leading the league in rushing. So you play great defense, run the ball. It's a great combination for you. Now, as you compare them to the really good teams in the division or in the NFC right now, you're talking about Arizona, you're talking about Carolina. Yeah, they can match up defensively with those guys. They're running the ball better than either one of those two teams. So the question is, okay, how good is Teddy Bridgewater? Can he compare to Carson Palmer, to Cam Newton, the way he does it? The problem right now for Minnesota is they're not particularly explosive in the passing game. And they're 23rd in the league in third down conversions. So if you're not going to go on a whole bunch of 10, 12 play drives by converting on third down, and you're not particularly explosive against the really good teams, that's where it can catch up with you. Doesn't mean they can't get there. And Bridgewater's been solid, and he's getting better. They're just not there yet. So, yeah, can they beat the Green Bay Packers at home? Absolutely. Can they compare with the top teams in the NFC right now? Got a little bit of ways to go.
Okay. We love getting your thoughts, whether it's via Twitter or via email, and we like to share those in the Wobcast, but that's in the late week edition of the Wobcast when we typically take a question from Twitter or from the email inbox. We'll do that later in the week, but I thought a lot of you had some great thoughts here early in the week, and I wanted to share some of the most popular or most common general talking points that is stemming from the fan base and that we're hearing a little bit in the media. We'll start with the team in general. The Vikings folks already have 7 wins on the season. I mean, you take a look at the rest of the NFC, not a ton of teams above 500. The Vikings are in first place in their division, but maybe more importantly right now, they have 7 wins, and you got to wonder, how many is it going to take to get to the playoffs? Typically, 10 wins will get you in. Sometimes it doesn't. 11 wins should for sure get you in. The Vikings already have 7 tickets as they try and earn a place in the postseason. So nothing much more beyond that point, just that here we are in week 11, and your Vikings, who have played 9 games, have 7 wins. So 7 wins in 9 games. When you look at trying to get into the playoffs, the Vikings obviously off to a very good start and in a very good position. Secondarily, are you thinking division title or wild card when you take a look at the NFC playoff standings right now? For most of the season, the Vikings started out hot, and it's been like, you know, we're in great shape when it comes to the wild card because it's almost a foregone conclusion that the Packers will sit atop the NFC North at the end of the season. But alas, here we are more than halfway through the season now, and it's the Vikings who are atop the division. So, producer Nate Vaughn, should Vikings fans be thinking division title or wild card? I think this is a dilemma that our fans and that the organization now has, something we haven't thought about in a long time. The Vikings haven't won the division since 2009.
I say let's do the thing.
Okay.
Let's do it. Why not? I mean, you win the division, you're guaranteed at least one home game in the playoffs.
Yes.
Think about that, a game in mid-January outdoors in Minnesota.
It'd be awesome.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, if you make it, you make it. That's the biggest thing. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not do it? Have a home game in Minnesota, a playoff game. That would be fun.
It would be
a lot of fun.
A playoff game outside of Minnesota in January would be sweet. Now, here's why I put this down here today to talk about it, Nate. We're flying back from Oakland on Sunday night after winning. And I'm sitting there, you're behind me, PA is next to me, and we're watching the Arizona Cardinals-Seattle game, okay? And, you know, so, like, PA and I are sitting there going, like, well, who are we going to cheer for in this game? Because obviously who we cheer for has somewhat of an influence on the game. So it was a very important decision.
Right.
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 On who we were going to cheer for. And I'm like, well, you know, if you're trying to get the best wild card spot, you know, if you want to make the playoffs as a wild, you know, try and get in as a wild card team and get the 5th seed instead of the 6th seed, you know, you're cheering for Arizona, you know, because you want to knock Seattle down another notch,
right?
And maybe knock them out or knock them to the 6th seed so you can get the 5th seed. But when you're 7-2 and in first place in your division, and the team in second place in your division has lost 3 straight and they're on the ropes, and you get them at home the next week, maybe it's time to think about winning the division. And in that case, you wanted Seattle to win that game, because now as a division winner, you're contending with Arizona, who leads their division, and you want to get home field advantage. You want to get as high a seed as possible as a division winner. So that was kind of the impetus of this one. And hopefully we're on the division winning track and we can keep worrying about that. All right.
Well, one thing to keep in mind with that too, though, yeah, is the games we have coming up. We play both of those teams that you were just talking about, yeah, Arizona and Seattle. Obviously, Arizona looking to be a very tough task for any team.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle still no pushover by any means. Still 2 games against Green Bay. I mean, still plenty of work to be done, but
yes,
you got to be happy with where we are right now.
No doubt about it. And making that game against the Cardinals even tougher, Nate, is the fact that we play Seattle on Sunday and then turn around 3 days later and fly to Arizona to play a physical Arizona Cardinals team. That is a meat grinder stretch for the Vikings. All right. When do we begin to be concerned with the passing game? And should we be concerned at all right now? I'm not concerned with it right now. The way the running game is going, I think it's fine. We're not asking the passing game to do a ton. So I don't think it's time to be concerned with the passing game, especially when we really needed the passing game it came through for us. That was at Soldier Field against the Bears. Late in the game, Jay Cutler drives down, steals the lead from us, and we need a touchdown drive from Teddy. He marches us down 80 yards in eight plays and scores a touchdown, most of that coming through the air. The Vikings scored 10 points in the final 2 minutes of that game. So to me, it's not time to be concerned with the passing game. The running game is where we're making our money right now, and I think you stick with it until someone can stop you. But Nate, we have the number one rushing attack in the NFL, and we have the leading rusher in the NFL, but it's a passing league. So is it that cool to have the leading rusher anymore?
Yeah, it's cool.
All right, good.
It's cool because what a lot of people say when it gets to the end of the year, and what you heard Brian Billick say earlier, I mean, you have some teams like the Patriots that just air it out all year long, and that works for them most games. But it's defense and running the ball that keeps you in games and allows you to win games late in the year, especially, like we said, outside when it gets colder. It's a recipe for success.
It is, especially in close games. And Brian Billick talked about it earlier in the Wobcast.
And he knows a thing or two about how to win games.
I would say so. He's won a Super Bowl. So, and here's the other thing to that is with Teddy, you know, the Vikings don't do it lean on the running game as a crutch. They do it because it's a strength. And they don't do it because they have a quarterback who is a failure. You know, Teddy has a clutch gene in him. He has done very well with the game on the line and the ball in his hands. He's not putting up 350-yard passing games with four touchdowns. But when the game's on the line, like it was at Soldier Field, Teddy is able to drive us down there. He's cold-blooded that way. And so I don't look at us running the ball as well as we are and as often as we are as we're doing that because we can't do the other thing. I think we're doing it because it's a strength of ours. On top of that, we have a quarterback that when we need him to do it, he's been able to do it.
And there's something to be said for having a quote-unquote balanced offense.
Yeah.
But Norv Turner has said a number of times the idea of a balanced offense isn't necessarily having stats look the exact same. It's having the threat to do either the run or the pass.
Right.
Every single play.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you have. I mean,
yeah.
Adrian can run it down your throat all day, but also Teddy can convert a 3rd and 7 by scrambling outside of the pocket.
Yep. And that's a good point. And right, offensive balance is not, you don't gauge that by the game by game stats. Like one game you're going to have 263 yards rushing, but another game you're going to need 263 yards passing. As long as you can do both, you're balanced. You don't need 200 yards passing and 200 yards rushing in both in the same game. You just need to be able to do what you need to be able to do when you need to be able to do it. So far, 7 out of 9 times, the Vikings offense has been able to do that. All right, last one. And here's what got me thinking about this one. You have Coach Zimmer. I mean, talk about a guy on a roll right now.
Yeah.
His team is 7-2, okay? In an overtime game a couple of weeks ago, he wins the coin toss and took the wind. Okay? In the locker room after this game, a game in which his team won in convincing fashion, and in doing so, claimed first place in the division, he's in the post-game locker room speech mode. Cameras are on him, and this goes on Vikings.com. Fans see this, and he said it in his press conference, so fans heard it again. He's like, yeah, we're in first place. And you know what that means?
What does it mean, Wobby?
Nothing. You know, and fans love that. I mean, he is incredibly popular right now among the fan base. And I'm wondering, could Mike Zimmer run for governor right now and win?
The timing is a bit unfortunate, being just after the early November voting season.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good point.
But I think if he were to enter as a write-in candidate, I think he would get a significant amount of votes.
The guy, I mean, you know, the Vikings are the most popular sports team in town, and Mike Zimmer is the head coach, and he's on an amazing run right now. I think the guy could run for governor and win the dang thing. Anyway, okay, so that's the temperature from the fan base. That's what you guys are talking about. We encourage you to continue sending us your thoughts via email to my inbox, which you can find on Vikings.com, or via Twitter at Vikings or at Wobby. Okay, we got to take a look around the division because we're leading the division, so we better keep an eye on what everyone else is doing underneath us. To keep an eye on the division, we enlist the help of producer Nate Vaughn.
We'll start with the big surprise of the weekend, the Lions taking down the Packers 18-16.
Mm-hmm.
A game in which the Lions, if they weren't up the entire game, it was close to the entire game.
Yep.
The game ended on a missed field goal by Mason Crosby. The Lions, I won't say tried to do everything they could to give the game away.
Lions tried to do everything they could do to give the game
but
away.
But Green Bay did have a handful of opportunities to catch up and win the game and at home, and they couldn't do it.
With all due respect to both teams, this is not trash talking, but you know how we always hear coaches say, you know, yeah, you know what, we just made one more play to, you know, one more play to win the game, or you know what, they just made one more play than we did. You know, Green Bay just made one more mistake than Detroit did. I mean, really, that was one of those games where watching from afar, it's like, yeah, Green Bay's got this one. That's what it felt like to me.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
They didn't. So the Lions now 2-7, take down the Packers now 6-3. So a little bit of drama there in the NFC North last week.
Mm-hmm.
Another team in the NFC North playing the Rams, the Bears, they took it to the Rams, 37-17. I remember looking up at when they would play the highlights when we were in the middle of our game against Oakland, seeing Jeremy Langford just running away from the Rams, the vaunted Rams defense that has put the clamps on so many players, including us to an extent.
Right. Right?
We had a tough time the other week with them. But the Bears all of a sudden have become the Jay Cutler, Zach Miller, Jeremy Langford show. Did you see that happening at the beginning of the year?
They were. I did not project that. I did not project that happening. Although Jeremy Langford's, you're a guy from the Big Ten, right? He's a Michigan State guy.
Yeah, I suppose.
So you're familiar with him.
He's
going against your Iowa Hawkeyes all the time. Nice little find by the Bears and Jeremy Langford. I mean, Matt Forte is still good, still one of the best in the NFL, but at some point in time, Father Time will catch up with Matt Forte. I think the Bears might have found the heir apparent to Matt Forte. Great game for him stepping in for Matt Forte. And Jay Cutler right now, he's playing well. I mean, that early in the season, that home game against Chicago, it was like, chalk that baby up. That's a win. I don't know now. I mean, that's going to be a tough game. Adam Gase is the Bears' offensive coordinator. He was the offensive coordinator in Denver with Peyton Manning for the last few years. John Fox and the Broncos part ways, so John Fox goes to the Bears. Adam Gase comes to the Bears. He's got Jay Cutler playing very well right now.
So don't look now. The Bears at 4-5. All of a sudden in contention for one of those two wild card spots. And I saw a stat earlier, 1/3 of the NFL has a 4-5 record right now.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy that 1/3 has the same record and that it's a losing record at that.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of teams in the mix. That's good. That's good for the league. It's good for fans.
That's true. Also good for the league, we think, the Vikings being a good team.
Absolutely.
The Vikings now 7-2, defeating the Raiders 30-14. We talked about it already. We'll talk about it more probably later on. But a good showing. The Vikings winning 5 straight. Still not a lot of talk about the Vikings, even for being atop the NFC North. Still a lot of games to be played. But like we said before, got to feel pretty good about where they are right now.
One thing that I was thinking, Nate, is when we were coming out of the bye after week 4, you're coming out of the bye into week 5, and you're looking ahead at the schedule, and the talker was, well, the Vikings better make hay now in their next handful of games coming up, because after that it gets tough. Green Bay into Atlanta, into that Seattle Arizona meat grinder, and then close with the Giants and Green Bay. It's, you know, it gets tough there. Throw in a game against the Bears, and it gets tough. Well, they did that. The Vikings did that. They made hay. They've won 5 straight coming out of the bye. So, and you know. Like, I don't want to get into this because you can always say coulda, woulda, shoulda, if this would have happened, that would have happened. And when you say we should have won that game, well, yeah, but you won this game in dramatic fashion, so you could have lost that game too. But the Vikings are very close to being 8-1 when you think about the Denver game. I mean, that was a game where if one or two plays go the opposite way, they win that game. Now, granted, you can say that about the Rams game. Could have lost that game. You can say that about a couple of other games this season. But the Vikings are close to being 8-1. And if not for that loss to Denver, you know, you're looking at a team that has not lost since week one, since, you know, they threw up a dud in week one. So Vikings playing very well right now. That there isn't much chatter about them nationally and league wide is okay. I think Mike Zimmer likes it that way. If you remember, Mike Zimmer was annoyed by all of the positive talk about his team in training camp. Then they go out and lose to the Niners the way they did. And I think Mike Zimmer was a little bit like, yeah, see, I told you so, guys. So not a lot of talk about the Vikings, but I think that is okay for now.
So looking ahead to week 11 matchups, the Raiders at 4-5 at the Lions at 2-7. We have the Broncos, the aforementioned Broncos at 7-2 now, traveling to Chicago to take on your red hot Chicago Bears. And then the Green Bay Packers coming here to Minnesota to take on your Minnesota Vikings.
It's got
to
be the game of the week.
Yeah, I mean, they pushed it back a couple weeks ago. They pushed it back to the 3:30 time slot. So, I mean, that's a big sign right there that hey, people realize the magnitude of this game. Even though we play Green Bay again later in Week 17, and it's still really the middle of the season, it still doesn't mean this game is nothing.
Right. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, and Aaron Andrews will be here for Fox. That'll be the Fox game of the week. And I haven't looked at the NFL's Week 11 slate of games, but I would have to imagine that this is the game of the week. I don't know who plays on Monday night or Sunday night. I think the Patriots play on Sunday night. But, I mean, Vikings-Packers with first place on the line in the NFC North is your game of the week in Week 11.
So hopefully a lot of attention on that game. But what we really know all of the attention is on is your over-unders, Wabi. Mm-hmm. You entered the week 12-12, 500 record. Let's see if you can do a little bit better this week and get that record above 500.
That's what I'm trying to do.
All right, we took a look at, it was sort of a weird over-under. We looked at cumulative distance of Blair Walsh field goals that he made. Almost blindly, we put the over-under at 108.5 yards, and you took the over. Why'd you take the over?
Well, I took the over because Blair's got a big leg, man. He's made each of his last two field goals from 50-plus, and listen, if you would have told me that Blair was going to make three field goals, I would have stayed with the over. I'd be like, I'm in good shape here. But he made three, and I was under still.
You were under. It was a total. You're right. He made three, a total of 92 yards.
Okay, so I lose. But, man, I guess it would have been helpful to make those other two field goals he missed. That would have pushed me over.
That's true.
Thanks a lot, Blair.
It definitely would have. We can remind him of that in the locker room later.
Yeah, I'm sure he's really going to care.
Okay. The next thing we took a look at was tackles for Linval Joseph, who's putting together just a stellar defensive season, especially at the position. You don't see a lot of stats at all.
Right.
Position he plays, but he's really tearing offenses apart.
Did you
vote inside
for him?
Out.
Did you vote for him to go to the Pro Bowl?
Seven times.
Okay.
Is that cool?
Good. Yeah, you got to vote more.
I might do more.
Okay.
I'll see if I can clear off half an hour later in the work day today.
Yeah, there's lots of free time, especially this week.
Yeah. So we put the over-under at tackles for Linval Joseph at 6.5. Didn't designate whether they're tackle for losses or sacks or whatever. Just 6.5 tackles. You took the under. And you were correct, but that doesn't mean it was a bad showing for Linval Joseph.
No, it was a good showing for him. He had a tackle for loss, he had a sack, he had a forced fumble, and the sack he had on Derek Carr, I mean, he almost took the guy's head off, you know. Clean, legal hit, but it was the sack where Danielle Hunter actually got him down. Danielle Hunter sacked him, but the referees did not call Derek Carr down, so Derek Carr continued with the play, and he shouldn't have because Linval Joseph teed off on him. And that was a monster hit from Linval, but he continues to do his thing. He is playing at an all-pro level. If you have not voted for him to go to the Pro Bowl and you're one of those who likes to vote, go there and vote for Linval because he deserves it.
Where would you rank Linval's sack or tackle for loss celebration on the scale of Vikings celebrations? If you've seen it, he throws an imaginary baseball up to himself and then it's what we can only assume is a home run.
The Alfred Morris celebration was a baseball celebration, but Linval's twist to it is awesome because he tosses the ball to himself. I'm giving it an 8 out of 10.
I like it.
Okay.
And he's huge and ferocious, which makes it all the better.
He's like a right-handed David Ortiz.
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, we can only assume those baseballs are going 400 plus feet.
I think they are.
All right. The final over-under we took a look at was 2-point conversion attempts. Sort of a weird game the week before against St. Louis. We saw them go for two on their very first score of the game. So we said, hey, could it happen again this week? So we put the over-under at 0.5. So basically, will there or won't there be one? You said under. You said there wouldn't be one, and you were right.
Mm-hmm.
And only extra points.
Right. And there was one opportunity, I think, where a team could have gone for two in this game, and it was when the Vikings went ahead on the Cordero Patterson touchdown, the kickoff return touchdown. That put the Vikings ahead 19-14. So you can make an argument to go for two there to get up by 7 points. I would argue against that. You don't go for two there. Number one, it's way too early to risk giving up a point by going for two just to gain one more point. Too early in the game, take the points when you can get them. At that point, you're in a meat grinder game. You just reclaim the lead. It's close, and it's fairly low scoring. So it was the right move to go for one there for Mike Zimmer. But you can make the argument from a numbers standpoint that you go for two there, just because a six-point lead now is a little more valuable than years past because of the longer extra point. So there was one opportunity for a team to go for two, and it was the Vikings at the end of the first half. They didn't. I'm glad they didn't. It was the right move not to, and there winds up being 0 2-point conversion attempts, and I wind up getting above 500.
That's right. Now 14-13 on the year, back on the good side of 500. Yes. Congratulations, Wobby.
Thank you. All right, Nate, I got one final note. I have a cool stat for you.
Okay.
A guy that we never talk about but contributes a lot and is a big reason why we win games is Rhett Ellison. All right. A cool thing happened. I think it's cool. And I'm sure it's happened before, but the reason it's cool this time is because we scored in a unique way on Sunday with a kickoff return touchdown. So we had a kickoff return for a touchdown. We had a rushing touchdown. We had a receiving touchdown. And then we had 3 field goals and 3 extra points. Okay. Rhett Ellison was on the field for every one of those scores.
Interesting.
He was on the field for his touchdown catch, obviously. He was one of the 3 tight ends that was blocking for Adrian on his touchdown. He's on the kickoff return team, so he was blocking for Patterson's touchdown. And he's a protector on the field goal and extra point team, so he was on the field for all 6 of Blair Walsh's made kicks.
It's a good amount of research you did there.
Pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
So now, that also means he's on the field for a missed field goal and a blocked field goal. So I don't know if he bears any culpability for any of that, but we don't care.
We weren't going to talk about those.
We're not going to talk about that.
We talked about that in the production meeting.
Sorry, you can just edit that out.
Right, okay.
So 2 thumbs up to Rhett Ellison for being on the field for every scoring play the Vikings had on Sunday against the Raiders. Okay. That's it for this edition of the Wobcast. As you know, folks, we're going to be back later this week, and we'll get into a preview of the Vikings' huge game on Sunday against the Green Bay Packers. Until then, and for producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. Hope you have a great week. We'll talk to you next time. So, yeah, I start with